Last Thursday, Fayetteville Citizens Climate Lobby and Arkansas Public Policy Panel hosted a fiesta to raise awareness and funding to solve climate change. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich attended and brings us this story.
The purpose of the fiesta, held at a private residence, which drew more than 70 people, was to instruct the crowd on the Citizens Climate Lobby's revenue-neutral carbon fee and dividend policy, which it's rolling out. Sort of a terrible name for something that advocates say could drastically and easily reduce carbon dioxide emissions, helping to ease the devastating effects of climate change. All right, perhaps this song, performed at the fiesta by Fayetteville duo Still on the Hill, Kelly Mulholland and Donna Sterna, will clear the jargon haze.
Let a fee be placed on carbon-based fuels at their source. Might be oil or coal mine or imports at a port. Charge a 10-buck fee for every ton of sooty CO2. And equality for everyone, dividends will then be due.
Across the country, hundreds of chapters like this are organizing under the Citizens Climate Lobby, a nonprofit, nonpartisan grassroots advocacy organization focused on national policies to address climate change. Climate scientists at the National Center for Atmospheric Research say climate change is occurring faster than expected and will result in more catastrophic weather and sea level rise. And that worries Chris McNamara. He's co-chair of the Fayetteville chapter out on the back deck during the fiesta. He took a stab at defining revenue neutral carbon fee and dividend.
Yeah, so it's a really simple policy, and that's one of its benefits. What you do is you put a price on carbon at its point of entry into the economy. So that's a port, a well, a mine. That fee is passed on to consumers because it's part of the economic system. The utilities, the producers of energy will raise their prices. We take the revenue from that fee, 100% of it, and return it back to citizens equally in a monthly dividend. That covers the cost increase from their energy, and also it stimulates the economy. So that's why we think it's such a great option to help reduce carbon dioxide emissions.
This summer, EPA finalized its Clean Power Plan. It will cut carbon emissions from the power generation sector by 870 million tons, one-third of pre-recession levels over the next 15 years. Arkansas is among 20 states that rely on coal for electricity production. 85% of the state's greenhouse gas emissions rise from 5 coal-fired power plants, including Flint Creek Generating Station in northwest Arkansas. Chris McNamara with Fayetteville Citizens Climate Lobby says carbon fee and dividend is a key pathway for compliance with EPA's Clean Power Plan.
So that's one of the big benefits for us because it's a clear price signal for the market and investors that you're not going to make the same profits you were in the fossil fuel industry, but you are going to make profits in low carbon intensive industries. So they start switching and investing in that direction. So you have millions of people doing this at once. And that's what our economy is founded on, is these multiple inputs all acting to create this movement. So we think, utilize the power of our free market economy to reduce these emissions.
McNamara's group is funding a study on the carbon fee and dividend strategy for Arkansas in advance of their statewide Citizens Climate Lobby campaign launch.
So we're right at the beginning of a statewide campaign. The state is supposed to come out September 16th with its state implementation plan for how it's going to respond to the EPA's Clean Power Plan. So what we're doing right now is we're getting this study done, and then we're developing our long-term campaign. So we're reaching out to legislators and key policymakers, but that's more of a long-term process. So we have about a year campaign we're planning right now.
Conservatives say EPA's new Clean Power Plan is overreach and plan to fight it. Arkansas Attorney General Leslie Rutledge has joined 14 other states asking EPA to stay the Clean Power Plan pending a lawsuit. And time will tell how carbon producers will react writ large to the carbon fee and dividend push.
Olay! My fiesta.
Back at the Fayetteville Citizens Climate Lobby Fiesta, the crowds turned out to hear Scott Nystrom, a senior associate with REMI, Regional Economic Models Incorporated, a firm based in Washington, D.C.
I'm going to skip through some of the revenue stuff and just go to this one. So this is the size of the dividend. You all probably saw the little checks that they're handing out, which I think are actually a really cool idea. This would actually be the size of the check for an average family. So it's per month, not per year. It starts at about $50 a month per family, and it gets up to closer to $400 per month per family by the end period that we're talking about.
According to Scott Nystrom's analysis, households could see between $50 to $400 per month income from carbon fee dividends, plenty to pay for new shoes and fill the hybrid gas tank. Citizens Climate Lobby, by the way, hired REMI to analyze its carbon fee and dividend policy. REMI found that over 20 years, CO2 emissions would be reduced 50% below 1990 levels, way below EPA's new clean power plan. Citizens Climate Lobby's new carbon tax and dividend policy is much different than cap and trade used successfully starting back in the 90s by EPA to reduce sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxide emissions from power plants. REMI project manager Scott Nystrom.
That's what a carbon tax essentially is. It's an excise tax. It's a sales tax, which will influence people's behavior. It's very simple. You know what the price is, you know where it's going to be, and you know how it's affecting people's behavior. We've had excise taxes as a civilization since the Assyrians. So it's very simple. We've had it for a long time. Granted, cap and trade, on the other hand, is a much more complicated system. It's not an excise tax. It's a market, but it's a market that does not currently exist in the energy supply chain or the consumer sector. It's run by the government. They're the ones that are dictating the auction. They're the ones that are accepting bids, controlling the market, all that. And at the end of the day, I've seen some arguments made that a cap and trade can be less stable because it's easier for governments to change that cap without as much transparency as changing a tax, on the other hand. When somebody changes the tax system in the United States, sales tax, income tax, we all hear about it. Cap and trade is a little more convoluted than that.
Nystrom says the closest empirical analog or real-life case for carbon fee and dividend adoption is British Columbia.
It's getting 7-8 years old now. It's getting close to a decade old. And it's the same idea. They don't do electricity because they're all hydro up there anyways, or mostly hydro. But it's the same idea. They have an excise tax on gasoline and heating fuels, which then they use to cut other taxes and make tax credits available for people that live in rural areas and low-income folks. And they found that since they put this into action, so this is empirical. This is not, you know, speculation. This is looking at a real economy. The British Columbia economy has grown at basically the same rate as the Canadian economy, or even a little faster. And their carbon emissions have dropped 10%, while the rest of Canada's are more or less flat. So economically indistinguishable, again, British Columbia, that west coast province of Canada, from the rest of Canada. So economy looks the same, while their emissions have gone down as people switch into more efficient fuels and more efficient lifestyles.
We close with Still on the Hill's climate anthem to Carbon Fee and Dividend, written by local poet Jeff Ulstner. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.